Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. It might be overcast and cold in the state of Wisconsin today, but it's bright and sunny in everybody's mind, I think. The Packers are going to the Super Bowl! Thanks for joining us today, everyone. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Today's show, we're going to be going over some of the highlights and the headlines today from the local Green Bay Packers and Wisconsin media. If you want to comment, please feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to our blog. Good morning, everyone. I'm checking out the live blog already. Good morning goes out to Midwest fan, Packer fan John, John Rahor, and Aaron Biederman, all checking in on the live blog already. Thanks, guys. I assume everyone is absolutely elated. The Packers are in the Super Bowl. Champions, NFC champions over the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Wasn't pretty, but it was a victory, and that's all that matters. Fantastic. Let's get right into it today and check out the headlines. If you look at the top of the live blog, I've provided a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. Feel free to click that and follow along. Your top story today is Aaron Rodgers. If you click the link that says bumps and bruises, he got a couple of those on Sunday against the Bears. Take you to an article over at ESPNMilwaukee.com from reporter Jason Wilde. And he says, quote, Rodgers took a nasty helmet-to-jaw hit from Chicago Bears defensive end Julius Peppers in the second half of Sunday's NFC Championship game victory over the Bears. And while that didn't bother him on Monday, he was feeling the effects of a hard hit to his right shoulder on his touchdown run on the Packers' opening possession of the game. So yeah, Aaron Rodgers a little dinged up after Sunday's game. You could see him after the game. I'm sorry, after the first touchdown. That 1 yard run on the naked bootleg, first possession of the game. He was kind of favoring that shoulder a little bit. You could tell it didn't feel the greatest, but didn't appear to be anything serious, though. You know, just one of those things that you play through, which I suppose is more than what you can say of the Bears quarterback on the other sideline. I shouldn't say that. Test revealed that Jay Cutler does have an MCL tear, which normally does require weeks of recuperation, and his teammates have his back. Whether Jay Cutler is still the quarterback that's going to lead the Bears to the promised land, I have my doubts. I will go out on a line right now and say, no, the Bears will never win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler. But that's not what we're talking about today anymore. Aaron Rodgers, it wasn't the greatest game on Sunday. Two interceptions. One was probably not his fault. That was quite the freak interception that went off Donald Driver's foot, his leg, kind of the ankle area, I suppose, or the shin area, and ended up in the hands of Lance Briggs. You can't really blame Rodgers for an interception on that. That's just kind of one of those freak things. But the other one was ugly. Just telegraph that pass to Brian Urlacher in the end zone. Not the greatest game, but as we found out all season long, all postseason at least, this is a team that doesn't need to be perfect to win. Doesn't need to be perfect. Packers don't have to be perfect. They overcame two turnovers, two interceptions to win the game. And I think they can do the same against the Steelers. Now, would it help not to have any turnovers? Absolutely. Can they overcome them? I think they can. The defense is that good for the Green Bay Packers. But getting back to Aaron Rodgers, it was still a gritty performance by him. You know, that was a good touchdown run. Nice executed, nicely executed play. The way he ran the offense those first couple series, the first quarter and half of the game, were impeccable. Just moving the ball up and down the field. There was even a point in the beginning of the second half when he was moving the ball pretty well as well. Didn't get in the end zone, but still controlling the clock, holding possession of the football, all important things that led to Sunday's win. Trying to catch up on some of the comments on the live blog. Jamie Lee throws a question out there. Jamie Jors, did the helmet save Rodgers from another concussion? That's a good question, Jamie. One that will that should be asked to Rodgers this week, whether his new helmet, since he's had a concussion, Aaron Rodgers has a new helmet, whether that actually helped him avoid a concussion. That hit he took from Julius Peppers was pretty hard. I was a little annoyed with how annoyed Julius Peppers and Brian Urlacher were after that hit. You know, Urlacher had to be restrained by teammates following that hit, like he objected to it. You know, I understand NFL, some NFL players are, you know, just not, you know, happy with the way quarterbacks and skill position players are protected in this game. But my goodness, I mean, was there any doubt that Julius Peppers hit Aaron Rodgers in the head? Was there any doubt? I mean, what are you arguing about? It was clear as day. And, you know, to make a big deal of that during the game, if you just don't agree with the ruling, is beyond me. You know, that's not the place to, you know, state your dislike, distaste for the rule. The fact is it was an illegal hit, and he was rightly penalized for it. The thing that gets me too, and we've talked about this weeks and months ago here on Railbird Central, Julius Peppers could have easily avoided a helmet-to-helmet hit. He had all the time in the world to hit him lower. He basically had a free shot at the quarterback once he got by Chad Clifton. That was Clifton at the time, right? That wasn't Lang in there. I'm pretty sure Clifton had re-entered the game by then. But he had all the time in the world to lower his body. There was no reason he had to go so high. Once he got by the left tackle, it was, you know, he just had a free shot at the quarterback. You knew he was going to hit him. Aaron Rodgers knew he was going to get hit on that play. No reason he couldn't have hit him just 6 inches lower. Of course, he did hit him pretty high. Maybe he needed to go 7. Midwest fan says he deliberately tried to knock Rodgers out of the game. Aaron Biederman says, to be honest, I'm shocked that it's just a sore shoulder. I would have guessed he'd have a concussion. That was the first thing that went through my mind when Aaron Rodgers was hit. I'm like, oh no, another concussion. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, but I was thinking in my line, don't go to the sideline even for a play to check with the doctors, because once they start poking and prodding, then they'll diagnose the concussion and then he won't be able to come back in. You know, I suppose I should be looking out for Aaron Rodgers' health. I am, Aaron. I just was a little selfish. I wanted the Packers to be in the Super Bowl. Forgive me. Question from U.S. Navy Doc. What's the status on Clifton? Clifton said he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He got a stinger, a neck stinger, which caused some numbness in his arm. But regained feeling You know, that's not an uncommon injury in football. And he said he does not anticipate missing any practice time. It's included in today's Packers Daily Links. Look for the link for it at the top of the live blog. In fact, I think we'll be getting to that later today on the show. And with that, if you want to call in today, I'll put up the phone number. 1 second. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. You want to call into the show, share your feelings on Aaron Rodgers, on the hit by Julius Peppers, how he and Brian Urlacher reacted, or even Jay Cutler. You want to compare Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler? Feel free. I'm here to take your phone calls and talk about whatever you want to talk about. A.W. Beckman comments, not mentioned is Harris also hit A-Rod in the head on the same play as Peppers. Did he? I'd have to rewatch that. I guess I only remember the Peppers hit. But it would take a rewatching of the game for me to look closely at that. Interesting. But, you know, the refs did their job on that play. Whether or not you like the rule, it was enforced properly. In other Green Bay Packers news today, second story down in today's Packers Daily Links over at Cheesehead TV. Scroll down a little bit. Eric Walden. And if you click this link, it'll take you to packreport.com, part of the scout.com network. And the part on Walden is all the way at the end, but I guess the reason I think it's so important, it was the most significant injury to come out of the NFC Championship game over the Bears. Bill Huber writes, quote, outside linebacker Eric Walden was diagnosed with an ankle sprain, an injury that knocked him out of Sunday's game. Walden, who has started 5 of the past 6 games on the right side, has been given a chance by Coach Mike McCarthy to practice Friday. Practice, of course, for the Packers begins this week Friday. Pardon me. Normally, their practice week starts on Wednesday. They practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I assume it'll kind of be the same schedule this week, except practice will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday before the Packers leave for the Super Bowl on Monday. Now, Eric Walden benefits probably more so than any player on the team from the extra week off, you know, 2 weeks between the championship game and the Super Bowl. Eric Walden appears to have the most serious injury on the entire team right now. I suppose a guy who's in the same boat as him is fellow outside linebacker Frank Zombo, who, you know, also is on the injury report, has been for the past month or so. And, you know, those two guys, one of them would be the starting linebacker in the Super Bowl. So it's worth watching what's going to happen to those guys and how they're going to respond to their injuries this week and next week. I mean, just imagine if Frank Zombo remains out and Eric Walden cannot recover from his ankle sprain. Guess who's your starting outside linebacker? Maybe Rob Francois? Or Dyrell Briggs? Those two players were rotated in and out of late in Sunday's game against the Bears. Once Walden went out with injury, Francois and Briggs kind of rotated a little bit in there. I couldn't really decipher which plays, you know, which situations, who was playing where, things like that. Again, I'd have to watch a replay of the game to figure that out. But the outside linebacker, that's going to be a sore spot for the Packers. And you could see perhaps the Pittsburgh Steelers taking advantage of that if they're not healthy. You know, maybe Walden can come back from this injury, and Zombo's now had a lot of time off. Maybe it's time for him to return finally. But couldn't you see the Pittsburgh Steelers targeting the right side in their run game, running right at Eric Walden on a gimpy ankle, or right at Frank Zombo on his gimpy knee? That's a concern right now. John Rayhor comments, not anywhere close to comfortable having Robert Francois as my starting outside linebacker in the Super Bowl. No, I don't think anybody would be. You know, I mean, the Super Bowl's about 2 weeks away. There's a long time between now and then. And they might, you know, be fine. But it is a concern right now. It is a concern. Jamie Lee comments, definitely interested to see about Zombo. My thought, they must have kept him active for a reason. Definitely. The Packers had every opportunity to put Frank Zombo on injured reserve already. They must feel he can return at some point and still contribute. So there's a reason they've kept him active. There is, no doubt. They probably hope he can return. And there will be some tough decisions again if Frank Zombo is able to return for the Super Bowl. Packers had some tough decisions this past game who to make inactive for the NFC Championship game. Remember, they made, finally, for the first time in a month, Corey Hall and Atari Bigby active. And Packers had an awesome special teams game. I wouldn't count out the job that Bigby and Hall did in that department, discount their contributions. But some people had to sit down because of that. Those people were Pat Lee and Jarius Wynn. Jarius Wynn, who's been doing a fairly decent job late in the year on rushing the passer on third and long. That was not an easy choice. The Packers, they can get away with that. They certainly have enough defensive line depth with Cullen Jenkins healthy. But Wynn has been a contributing member of the team late in the year. The one that got me is, I think there must have been a little more to Pat Lee's injury, if you ask me. I think Brandon Underwood is not better than Pat Lee, especially on special teams. I think Pat Lee's done a really good job, especially as a gunner. And Brandon Underwood just doesn't seem to be all that tough to me on kickoffs. He seems to get pushed around and things like that. And everybody remembers Brandon Underwood. I think it was the Philadelphia game, wasn't it, in the wild card round, where he touched the punt, muffed it, and the Eagles regained possession of the ball. Anyhow, I see some comments here coming in on the live blog. Midwest fan says, Bigby was really close to blocking a punt. He was pretty close one time. He got in there. From Jamie Lee, and Corey Banky agrees with it, that Peppers hit is the reason the NFL made the rule. He had the time to change direction and could have actually made a sack. He could have changed direction. I'm not sure he would have gotten the sack. Rodgers was getting that ball out of there. But no, I know what you mean by that. I know what you mean. John Rayhorn says, Walden surprised. Maybe Francois could as well. Doubt it, but it could happen. You know, the way the Packers have gotten contributions from players deep down that roster, who knows? Rob Francois was not a liability in the NFC Championship game when he played. that's good news. But at the time, Rob Francois came into the game, second half, with the Bears behind, they weren't exactly thinking about targeting him. They weren't thinking about running the ball at the right outside linebacker and seeing if he can hold up against the run. The Bears were in comeback mode. They had to pass the ball a lot. Caleb Haney doing a fairly decent job as well. Speaking of passing the ball, how far has the Packers' pass defense come since the last time they faced the Pittsburgh Steelers? I believe we touched on this briefly during the Cheesehead TV postgame show after the game on Sunday. I happened to catch just a couple moments on the NFL Network last night. If you're watching NFLN, they were replaying last year's Steelers-Packers game. And you remember Big Ben racked up about 500 yards passing that game. Just torched the Packers secondary. It is just unbelievable how far the Packers have come since that time. Especially Tremont Williams. Light and day. Light and day. Night and day. Tremont Williams has just been a monster since last year. This whole season long. Since week one, Tremont Williams has been good this year. Midwest fan says, the pass defense has come a long way. The run D has regressed a bit, though. That is interesting. The Packers were number one in the NFL against the run last year. That was their calling card a year ago. And it has regressed a little bit, no doubt. The Packers are still pretty darn good at defending the run. They're among the best in the NFL. But it wasn't as good as last year, which is interesting. But I suppose the trade-off was that they're a better team against the pass. Am I correct? The Packers led the NFL in sacks this year? Or were they number two? They were right up there. So, I mean, they get a good pass rush and interceptions, takeaways, and just generally shutting down opposing wide receivers. The Packers, have done well. Sam Shields, Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, Nick Collins, Charlie Peppera, all of them. You know what was a big difference? Atari Bigby was playing safety in that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. And who's playing this year? Charlie Peppera. Charlie Peppera has been so solid. Just so unbelievably solid. He's not making impact plays. Well, he made one against the Bears in the regular season finale when he had an interception. But he's not routinely making them, but he's not making mistakes. Charlie Peppera has just been fantastic this year. You know, in the run game especially, coming up in the box. Great job, Pep. Midwest fan says, yeah, the Packers were number two in sacks this year. Number two. Still pretty darn good. A lot better than last year when they were middle of the pack or so. What were they last year, 12? P-Nick asks a question. Think they will roll with Slocum again next year? He says, please say no. P-Nick, I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm saying yes. The job the special teams has done late in the year, take away the touchdown against Atlanta, and I know you can't really discount that, but the special teams, the defensive special teams, the coverage units, has improved, and they've gotten better as the year has went on. A lot better. I mean, think about it this way. Last year, the special teams weren't good. Pretty pathetic. And that was Slocum's first year. He's improved them this year. He's improved them. Now, who's to say Sean Slocum can't take the next step? Tim Maste gives Sean Slocum a ton of credit for for his development. And how about this, folks? How about Tim Mastay from the Jets game on? Tim Mastay is an all-pro, is a pro bowler from the Jets game on. It took him a little while to get into it this year. It took him a little while to get up to speed. But Tim Mastay has been one of the best punters in the entire NFL the second half of the season. How many times have we praised him lately? I can't tell you how many times I've put him in my chips report this year. My weekly feature I write after every Packers game. I bet you Tim Mastay was in there four times this year. Against the Jets, the regular season finale against the Bears, this game against the Bears. Tony Wilson says, I rarely say holy shit after a pump, but that 65-yarder made me do it twice. It seems like they caught the Bears off guard by actually kicking it beyond Devin Hester. You know, and that caught me totally by surprise. I mean, Mastay boomed two punts on Sunday. He boomed two punts. And it really did seem like they were not prepared for that. I mean, that kind of was a detriment to Devin Hester, having to go backwards to field those kicks. Yes, the coverage might have been, it took a longer time to catch up. But because Devin Hester was moving backwards, it took him that much more time to get his momentum going forward. Really, folks, I mean, Tim Mastay, he could be special next year if he just keeps it up what he's been doing. Remember, he's a rookie. Technically, it's his second year in the NFL. He's considered a first-year player. He went to training camp with the Colts last year. Didn't even play in a game. He was cut before that. So, I mean, Tim Mastay, he's a rookie. Packer fan John says, if Pitt doesn't have Pouncey, that line will be a mess. It's a good point. Pittsburgh's offensive line is not your typical Pittsburgh offensive line this year. Pouncey's been really good, and a rookie nonetheless. He had to make the all-rookie team, didn't he? Mike Pouncey's been pretty much the best offensive lineman there for the Steelers this year. See, lots of love for the special teams here on the live blog. Phoenix says the illegal man downfield wiped out an amazing punt also. Jamie Lee says, and coverage was superb. Bush ran down before everyone. If he was missed, there was someone in every lane. Loved rewatching that. Jared Bush did, a solid job this year. Here we go. Midwest fan. Busting out the stats. Packers allowed 4.7 yards per rush, 28th in the NFL. They were number one last year. Wow, I didn't realize how far they've dropped. I didn't realize it was that much of a difference. I tell you what, part of the reason they're not as good against the run, a couple players missing from last year. Johnny Jolly on the defensive line, Nick Barnett at inside linebacker. Those guys were pretty good in that department. So don't discount the efforts from those people when talking about Packers' run defense. It's 8:30, folks. I'm going to take a quick break. Stick around with me for just a moment, and I'm going to grab a drink of water. And we'll be right back to talk about more of the Green Bay Packers headlines today, including a little bit about John Kuhn and his Super Bowl ring. Stick around. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Please remember, all tweets with the hashtag Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV will get through to the blog, or feel free to use our handy-dandy Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. John Rahor, I saw your comment on the live blog. It says, just because we love the special teams doesn't mean we love Slocum. That's a conversation for after the Super Bowl. I tell you what, though. The Packers aren't going to fire anyone from a Super Bowl team. There's a reason they've reached the Super Bowl. You know, they're not going to fire any coaches. Sean Slocum has not done the best job in the world, but like I said, he's improving. Let him prove his worth. I think he deserved one more year at minimum, at least. For nothing else, the development of Tim Maste. If nothing else. You know, if the Packers can just simply get a kick return specialist, they would be so much better off. That's got to be a priority this year. You know, by all means, Packers, in the draft this year, draft somebody, maybe higher than you think you would, to get that position taken care of. Of course, the Packers went down that road just a couple seasons ago when they spent a fourth rounder on Corey Rogers out of TCU. And a couple of you might be saying, who? Yeah, that's because he never made it out of training camp when the Packers spent a higher round draft choice on a kick returner than they probably should have. So, it's rolling the dice. That's what the draft is. It always is. You're not going to hit on everyone. But man, I mean, just think about the last time the Packers were Super Bowl champions. Who was the kick returner? The Super Bowl MVP, Desmond Howard. Everybody knows how important, or at least how big of an impact, a kick returner can have on the outcome of a football game. Certainly can. Heading back to today's Packers Daily Links, we scroll down. Three stories down, we have a nice story on John Kuhn, fullback John Kuhn from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you click this link where it says Super Bowl ring, it'll take you to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JS Online, an article by Gary D'Amato. John Kuhn is the only player on the Packers that has a Super Bowl ring. And he didn't earn it as a player. He actually was on the practice squad of the Pittsburgh Steelers the last time they won a Super Bowl in 2006. And here's the quote from John Kuhn, as you can see in the article. He said yesterday, quote, it's at home here, he said Monday. I keep it in a safe. I don't look at it all that much. I was on the practice squad. But yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize John Kuhn had a Super Bowl ring, and I suppose that's because he didn't really play in the Super Bowl. But yeah, he got one from the Pittsburgh Steelers. What a nice gesture, give their practice squad guys a Super Bowl ring. They deserve it. I mean, especially the ones that have been there all year long. I would hope if the Packers win the Super Bowl, they're given guys like who've been on the practice squad all year long. Who's been on there all year long? Safety Anthony Levine. If I'm correct, offensive lineman Chris Campbell. There's a wide receiver there from Fresno State. That'd be a nice gesture. Those guys have worked their butts off as well, even though they haven't played. But it's just interesting to know that Kuhn has a Super Bowl ring. He said it was a goal of his to always make it back there and get one as an active player. And there's no doubt he's an active player with the Packers. He is played a very big role on the team this year. John Kuhn has been really great for the Packers this year, what he's offered the team. So, speaking of Kuhn, this just kind of jogged my memory. Yesterday, the All-Pro team was announced. The Associated Press All-Pro team. It's not like the Pro Bowl, where there's an AFC squad and an NFC squad. The All-Pro team is just one team comprised of the best players in the entire NFL. The only player to make the first team was Clay Matthews, which is kind of interesting, seeing as the Packers are a Super Bowl team. He's the only player on the entire team, on a Super Bowl team, that could make the All-Pro. But Charles Woodson and Nick Collins were on the second team. And they deserve it. You know, I think they're, you know, second team All-Pros. I wouldn't say they're perhaps first team, but I can see where the logic is coming from, being on the second team. And I just saw the list of guys receiving votes. And just to get votes on the All-Pro team is pretty impressive. I believe there's only 50 voters in the entire nation on this. So if you get one of 50 votes, somebody out there, somebody in the nation thought you were one of the two best players at your position. You know, from respected beat guys, most of them at least. So, players that received votes at least were Chad Clifton, Josh Sitton, John Kuhn, which kind of got me on this tangent here. I think Kuhn only got one vote, but he did get one for fullback. B.J. Raji, A.J. Hawk, and Tremont Williams. I'm not sure if I left somebody off that list, but I think those are the guys getting votes at least. So congratulations to them. It's an honor, I think. Good to see Kuhn getting one as a fullback, even though he doesn't entirely play fullback all the time. Kind of almost a 50-50 split now between halfback and fullback. I suppose with the way James Starks is playing lately, he's gone back to playing a little more fullback, perhaps. But, you know, whether it's Kuhn's blocking or his receiving or carrying the football as well, he's just been, had a great impact on the team. A free agent after the season as well. Don't doubt that this season, you know, helped John Kuhn in terms of getting a more lucrative contract and perhaps even some interest from other NFL teams. We will see. Off-season's, you know, that talk is going to kind of be put on hold here for a couple weeks with the Packers on the Super Bowl. I'm always one for talking about the off-season, but when the Super Bowl's on the line, I'm going to refrain from that a little more than usual. Elsewhere in today's Packers Daily Links, once again, going back to CheeseheadTV.com here, 4-story down. Mike McCarthy, you're going to see a lot about this over the next week or so. If you didn't know, you'd have to be a neophyte Packers fan almost not to be aware of this, but head coach Mike McCarthy grew up in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he's going to be asked to revisit his youth a lot over the course of the next week or so. 2 weeks in the lead up to the Super Bowl. And anyway, at PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette, if you click that link, there's an article by Kareem Copeland, and he talks a little bit about head coach Mike McCarthy and growing up in Pittsburgh. And the opener, the lead to the story, says, quote, Green Bay Packers coach Mike McCarthy had just won the biggest game of his life, a 21-14 victory over the Bears to secure the NFC title, when he reverted to the wide-eyed kid who grew up in Pittsburgh in the late 60s and 70s. He was being handed the Halas Trophy by none other than Steelers Hall of Fame quarterback Terry Bradshaw. McCarthy doesn't really want to talk about himself. If you watched the press conferences yesterday, you could tell he didn't really want to go there about his personal life. But, it's noteworthy. It's an interesting story. Even if he doesn't want to talk about it, the fans do. He talked about it being the championship city or whatever. There was a point back in that time period where Pittsburgh saw a lot of success, from the Steelers to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Remember, as bad as the Pirates are right now, those were the days of Willie Stargell back then. The Penguins and the Pitt Panthers. Both saw success years ago in Pittsburgh. Checking out some of the comments here on the live blog. P-Nick says, MM grew up in Pitt. I also heard that Brett Favre used to play for the Packers. Oh. See a tweet picked up here. Generator77 says, Pepper's hit equals dirty. That was a dirty hit. Anybody, if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Does anybody want to talk about the Super Bowl out there? Feel free. Call into the show. Phone lines are open. I'm waiting. I want to talk to somebody out there. You don't have to listen to me blather on the whole time. If I have to, I have to, though. Also in the news today, Chad Clifton. We mentioned this briefly. Tackle Chad Clifton. Looks like he's going to be okay. Of course, he exited the game for about, I think it was 3 series on Sunday. You know what, that neck stinger we talked about a little bit. He says he's going to be fine, and here's the article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You got to scroll down a little bit to find the information on Chad Clifton. Here it is down here. But he says he's going to be okay. He says, quote, it's a little stiff, but it's something that I've played with before. Stingers are pretty common in the league. It was just fortunate that I was able to come back and play. So, yeah, Chad Clifton, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. The Packers struggled a little bit without Chad Clifton. TJ Lang had gone in there. And I think I mentioned this once before on the postgame show. We put up the poll at the time. You know, if you're the Packers, who would you feel more confident with at left tackle, Chad Clifton or TJ Lang? And this was after the struggles of TJ Lang early on, but the vote came in with a 97% confidence in Chad Clifton, and I was surprised by just the overwhelming margin people put their confidence in Chad Clifton after. You know, he took some abuse earlier in the year, you know, especially early in the season, which is now was a long time ago. You know, we're talking about week one, week two, week three of the NFL season when Chad Clifton struggled and was actually benched for a while. Was it in the Buffalo game or the Detroit game early in the season? Yeah, actually benched. He was dealing with injury issues, you know, knee issues throughout the year. But, you know, you have to be happy with the job Chad Clifton has done this year, especially late. You know, I think he sees that, this might be his perhaps only chance to win a Super Bowl ring, and we'll take a phone call. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, this is Arlen from Iowa.
Arlen, how you doing?
Or A.W. Beckman, either which way.
Okay, sounds good. What's on your mind?
Hey, just something that hasn't been brought up. There's been a lot of talk, you know, about Roethlisberger, you know, and da-da-da-da-da, how hard he is. Just for discussion, I am more concerned about Mendenhall than I am Roethlisberger.
Okay. I can see that, definitely. Roethlisberger.
He looked...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, he looked pretty good Sunday. You know, and I think as big as Big Ben is, I believe that we have the three up front that can contain him down, but I'm concerned about Mendenhall getting around an edge. Just something to throw out there, give somebody something to talk about.
Sounds good. Yeah, we talked about it in the first half of the show. The Packers' defense has not been as solid against the run this year. You know, so Mendenhall presents a challenge for the Packers. Are you confident, Arlen, that the Packers have improved so much over a year ago when they faced Ben Roethlisberger, when Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 500 yards on him? You're confident that's not going to happen again? There's not going to be a repeat of that?
Yeah. I think our secondary has improved so much that I don't see that doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't. Like I said, I'm more concerned about them getting the run, and I do apologize. It was brought up earlier because, you know, I got on late watching. But I'm more concerned about them getting that running game going than I am Roethlisberger's passing. And I just think, you know, the secondary has improved so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shields has stepped up unbelievably.
Yeah.
And
just been huge what Shields has brought to the team this year, in addition to Tremont Williams, who everybody, I think, realizes is having a fantastic season.
Anyway, great job. And I'll just let everybody else comment on the Mendenhall deal.
Sounds good, Arlen. Thanks for calling in.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
A.W. Beckman on Twitter. Yeah, I heard Mendenhall had a really good day. I didn't get to see a whole lot of the AFC Championship game. Of course, I was sitting here hosting the postgame show, and when it was done, I was writing my chips report, and I had it on in the background, but I wasn't really watching it. But I am told Mendenhall looked good, so I've heard. And the way the Packers have given up 4.7 yards a carry this year, you know, that's it is. It presents a challenge. And especially when we talked about the uncertainty of the right outside linebacker position, that's even more of a concern. Midwest Fan brings up a good point here about the pass defense and how good the secondary's been. The Packers have been much better versus bunch and stack formations. That was a big thing in the last Pittsburgh game. A big thing. They could not deal with bunch and stack formations. And the playoff loss to the Cardinals as well. The Steelers were able to do several things with motion, with stacks and bunches. And they just seemed to, you know, the defenders didn't really handle it well. You know, how they hand off the coverage to each other, or who's going to go with who and who's going to press at the line of scrimmage. You know, not everyone can play that press coverage. Some of them got to take their zone. Ugenator comments, Mendenhall reminds me a little bit of Michael Turner, a strong, hard runner. He doesn't have the body of Michael Turner, but there is no doubt Mendenhall is a strong, hard runner. I will agree with that. I really liked Mendenhall coming out of college. Really liked him. Out of Illinois, saw a lot of him in the Big Ten. And didn't he come out as a junior as well? I believe he had one more year left and decided to go pro. But he's done solid. It seems whoever the Steelers insert at running back does well. You know, go back to Willie Parker in the Super Bowl before that, even, I believe. Did a good job with them. Was that back in 2002? Wow. But yeah, the Packers, it'll be interesting to see what they will use, sub-defense, base defense, what percentage of the time, how often can they have that big line in there of Howard Green, Ryan Pickett, and B.J. Raji? You know, because they do have to be concerned about the pass as well. So if they're lined up in that nickel formation a lot, as they were probably more so this year, you know, teams are going to run on the nickel. Obviously, you're taking a huge defensive lineman out of the game and putting a defensive back in. Sam Shields isn't a run stuffer. So the Packers will have to, you know, find a delicate balance there between which of those schemes they run and how often and how much. Sub-Zero PR says he will not run on us through the middle. Afraid of him running the corners. You know, that's where a lot of teams have had their success this year, is, you know, out to the outside. They get around the edge on the Packers and then cut up the middle. Michael Turner did that to them. Matt Forte has done that to them. Matt Forte had one hell of a game on Sunday. You know, not just in the run game, but the passing game as well. Didn't he lead the Bears in receiving? Matt Forte's pretty good. I like that guy. He didn't get enough help in the passing game from the Bears, but I do like him, though. Here's the stats. Thank you, U.S. Navy Doc. Mendenhall versus the Jets on Sunday, 27 carries, 121 yards, and 1 TD. Sounds kind of like the line James Starks put up in the wild card game. What was that, about 23 rushes for 123 yards? How about James Starks, folks? Three straight games of 20-plus carries. Not bad for a rookie. Not bad for a rookie who had about 20 carries coming into the postseason. I think it was a little more than that, but not by a whole lot. John Rayor says Matt Forte is the Bears' offense, has been for years now. Except for those, you know, few times Jay Cutler gets hot, which are becoming few and far between now. Far fewer than they used to be. U.S. Navy Doc says, the screen pass to the running back has killed us all year and to me is our biggest weakness. It was early in the season. The Packers have gotten much, much better against the screen late in the year. A lot better. The defensive linemen are doing a pretty good job sniffing it out. Guys like Ryan Pickett and B.J. Raji. And, you know, those guys are comparatively slow to begin with. But I give A.J. Hawk a lot of credit for being able to really do some damage against the screen passes. It has not been a problem since, you know, the Packers went on their winning streak. Of course, not much has been a problem since the Packers started beating the Giants way back in week 16 of the season and are now on a 5-game win streak. Not much has been a problem. But, yeah. Illinois Pack fan says, James Starks is the next Adrian Peterson, I hope. Wow, that's going out on the line. I'm not sure about that. I don't think they're the same players. I hope James Starks is successful. And I think most people agree he could be, can be. We will see. If he has the amount of rushing yards of an Adrian Peterson, I would be elated. That's almost impossible. I don't see how the Packers could even, you know, balance their rushing and passing attacks that much with Aaron Rodgers having so much success as well. I see that tweet at the bottom from WFRV Packers. A Packer fan in Chicago got fired for wearing a Packers tie yesterday. Is that real? I mean, is there more to the story than that, though? You can't really be fired for doing that, can you? I have heard this story from a couple different places, couple different sources now. That is interesting. Fired for wearing a Packers tie. Illinois Pack fan. Just joking about the Adrian Peterson thing. Everybody hopes James Starks can be as productive as Adrian Peterson. That'll just be a tough task. Anyway, folks, it's getting to be 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today. Having a good time talking Packers. Packers going to the Super Bowl. And the schedule here at Cheesehead TV, Packer transplants will be tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Same time, 8 p.m. Central Time, Lambeau Time. So make sure to come back for that, but not on Tuesdays as it like it was during the regular season. So Wednesday night, come back for Packer transplants here at Cheesehead TV. And as always, make sure to come back for our coverage throughout the whole entire week in the run-up to the Super Bowl. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun, folks. I'm Brian Kirivu. I'm going to see you later. I'm checking out, but have a good week. Go Pack, go.